What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Storms and staffing are among the issues creating bumps for some airlines. Plus, Asia's economic recovery stalls amid the COVID-19 Delta variant.
Factories in some countries aren't allowed to open, or they're forced to reduce their workforces.
And some things to consider before quitting your job. It's Wednesday, August 4th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin in Washington, where the Biden administration announced a new federal moratorium on evictions. It comes after calls from progressive Democrats to provide more protections for tenants. The WSJ's Siobhan Hughes covers Congress.
The moratorium stops evictions for the next 60 days through October 3rd in areas that have experienced substantial or high levels of COVID transmission. It's expected to cover more than 80% of U.S. counties. The goal is to buy time for state and local governments to dole out billions in rental assistance that Congress has already appropriated but that hasn't been used. President Biden warned that the moratorium might not hold up. The CDC hadn't found the legal authority for that action, the White House said, and signaled it was loath to take an action that could lead to the Supreme Court striking down its public health powers.
Spirit Airlines canceled over half its flights Tuesday as the airline continues to grapple with an operational meltdown that has thrown its operation into disarray for days. Bad weather, system outages, and staffing shortages in some areas have been some of the issues. A spokesman said the airline had proactively canceled some flights in an effort to reset its operation and was working to refund and rebook customers. American Airlines also canceled hundreds of flights this week following severe weather that began Sunday night at its Dallas-Fort Worth hub and continued into Monday morning. In New York, more calls for Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign, including from the governors of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. As we mentioned on the show last night, a state investigation found that Governor Cuomo sexually harassed multiple women during his time in office. The leader of the New York State Assembly, which has the power to bring impeachment charges, said it was clear Governor Cuomo could no longer remain in office. The speaker, a Democrat, said he would move to complete an impeachment inquiry, quote, as quickly as possible. The Democratic governor has defended his behavior and said he would continue to work, adding the report mischaracterized personal interactions. And Boeing's latest attempt to launch its Starliner space capsule today has been called off. As we talked about yesterday, the launch was postponed because of an issue with a component in the rocket's propulsion system. Officials said engineers needed time to assess what happened with the valves. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. A full day on the earnings calendar among the companies reporting quarterly results, General Motors, Apollo, and Royal Caribbean. The ride-hailing service Lyft achieved a measure of profitability a quarter earlier than expected. This marked a surprising comeback after the pandemic initially crushed demand for its rideshare service and later left it dealing with driver shortages. Strong demand in the second quarter, combined with cost cuts throughout the pandemic, enabled Lyft to thrive. The company's president cautioned that it was tough to predict the future with the highly transmissible Delta variant boosting COVID-19 cases in the U.S., but said he was optimistic that the company wouldn't slip back from its profit milestone. Just ahead, the struggles facing Asia as global economies try to recover from the pandemic. After the break.
You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
In recent days, we've seen signs of strength in the global economic recovery from the pandemic. But in some parts of Asia, it's a different story. The region is emerging as a weak link, even as other parts of the world see gains. Rising COVID-19 cases and slow progress on vaccinations are beginning to paralyze a region that had kept the virus in check, allowing for an early rebound. But the spread of the highly transmissible Delta variant is threatening to hurt consumer confidence and erode the advantage of many Asian economies as manufacturing powerhouses. For more on what the region is facing, we're joined by WSJ reporter John Emont in Singapore. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
So, John, in order to talk about Asian economies, we first have to talk about coronavirus vaccines. How do the vaccination rates in Asia stack up against the West?
Yeah, well, with some notable exceptions like Singapore and China, vaccination rates tend to be much lower throughout Asia than they are in many developed Western countries. So just to put some numbers on that, whereas about half of Americans have been fully vaccinated by now, the equivalent figure is around 30% in Japan and around 8% for poorer economies in Southeast Asia or South Asia like Indonesia, India, and the Philippines. The reason why vaccination rates tend to be lower in Asia, you know, is different depending on the country. Some wealthier economies in Northeast Asia, like South Korea and Japan, and you could also add into that Australia, they did a really good job of containing the pandemic. For other countries in the region, especially poorer ones, though, it's been a little different. Like Indonesia and the Philippines were hard hit by the pandemic from pretty much the get-go, and they just haven't been able to import enough vaccines to vaccinate their very large populations. And these countries also don't produce their own COVID-19 vaccines, so they're very reliant on imports, which, as we know, have been rather scarce till quite recently.
So fewer vaccinations, and now the Delta variant of the coronavirus is pushing cases in Asia to new pandemic highs. How is this affecting companies' operations in a part of the world that is known for manufacturing?
Yeah, that's right, Mark. I mean, it's causing a lot of havoc here. Even countries that did a very good job of containing the pandemic early on, countries like Vietnam and Malaysia and Thailand, they're now seeing major rises in cases tied to the Delta variant. And because of that, and because they are largely unvaccinated, governments are doing one of the only thing that governments can do when there aren't vaccines, which is trying to lock things down. And that has a major impact on manufacturing. You know, factories in some countries aren't allowed to open, or they're forced to reduce their workforces. And ultimately what that means is it just slows the manufacturing process.
And during the pandemic, demand from abroad really helped countries such as China and South Korea with exports. As other parts of the world see improvement, is the demand for those factories still there?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a really interesting question because there are a couple perhaps countervailing forces. On the one hand, as the West opens up, consumer demand is also, over the past few months, has, you know, largely increased. But as vaccines have rolled out and the economies have opened up, that's also meant that there are more opportunities for manufacturing in Western countries. Ultimately, demand is still pretty strong. When I speak to manufacturers in countries like Indonesia and Malaysia, they still have lots of orders. The issue is just whether they can fulfill those orders, given all the challenges associated with lockdowns in their own countries. Another challenge they face is that supply chains are really integrated. So, for example, I was speaking with an executive at a major apparel producer in Indonesia. And this apparel producer relies on raw materials, essentially just textiles from Vietnam. They're produced at textile mills in Vietnam. She said that because of lockdowns in Vietnam, she's not able to get her textiles in time to Indonesia. And that's impacted the production process. So you can just see how all of these different lockdowns in different countries, how it can sort of have this cascade effect that can make it really difficult to get products on time.
And finally, John, given how interconnected the global supply chain Is this something that eventually Asia will be able to lift out of, or are there some longer term concerns and implications?
I mean, right now we're in the thick of it, so it's a little hard to say whether this is something that's a huge problem, say, for Malaysian manufacturers now, but 2 months from now will be forgotten whenever factories open up. But certainly manufacturers here are concerned that this will have long-term implications, because in countries that have adopted really strict regulations and lockdowns, like Malaysia, they just haven't been able to produce the goods that they said they would. And even though it's understandable because they haven't been allowed to operate, for buyers, they might just move to different countries where they feel more confident that the government isn't going to implement such strict lockdowns in response to rising COVID-19 cases. So some countries like Malaysia, potentially, that have adopted very strict lockdowns could lose out long term if ultimately buyers of their products decide that these aren't reliable places to base manufacturing. That said, it's certainly a concern that manufacturers have in the region, but it's hard to know for sure what the world will look like in 3 months, given how quickly things seem to be changing.
John Emont joining me from Singapore this morning. John, thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And finally, this is a moment of fresh starts for some people. Burnout, the return to the office mandate, and boredom after a year of career stagnation can all seem like good enough reasons to resign from your job. But a new gig isn't always the answer. Here's Wall Street Journal work-life columnist Rachel Feinzig on what people should consider when thinking about quitting their job.
What I heard from experts over and over again was slow down. We often kind of overemphasize our current emotions. You know, we might think like, I totally don't want to go back to work. I'm going to be miserable. And maybe you will be. But what I heard from people is go back for 2 weeks, try it out. If you hate it, you can quit, but you might be surprised. You know, we're often not good at kind of judging how we might feel in the future.
You can hear more from Rachel on our sister podcast, Your Money Briefing. And that's what's news for Wednesday. We'll be back tonight with a new show. If you like us, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Stewart for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.